So what I want you to notice as we look at these verses is there's a kind of tension in God between justice and mercy. And by tension, I don't mean that God somehow got these two opposing attributes. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there's a tension in the sense that God is trying to act in a way that is true to his character as both a just and a merciful God. And that's the tension we see here, and we see it played out all through the Bible. So just very briefly, we're going to look at the passage in three quick points. God sees. God sees. God cries. God cries and judges. So God sees. You know, it's easy to say, like I said at the beginning, I just can't see why God is so angry all the time. But there's a bit of a flaw in that argument, I think, as I've thought about this. There's a bit of a hidden assumption. It's, I can't see why. I can't see. It's, from my perspective, I can't see why God is angry all the time, but we need to step back. Can you imagine what it is like to see all evil? I don't know if you've ever been at the end of someone doing something wrong to you and how painful that is. I think we all have. Maybe you've been at the receiving end of something really quite traumatic. But can you imagine what it's like to see every single act of wrongdoing? That's what it is like to be all-knowing, to be God. And this is how God sees it. So look down at verses 3 to 6. They make ready their tongue like a bow to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they triumph in the land. They go from one sin to another. They do not acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Beware of your friends. Do not trust anyone in your clan, for every one of them is a deceiver, and every friend a slanderer. Friend deceives friend, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. You live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. And as we read through the whole of Jeremiah, we see this aspect, this perspective that God has that we don't have, where God sees all evil. He sees all wrongdoing. It would be so traumatic for us to see that we would break down mentally. You would not be able to handle that. And that's what God sees day after day after day. And as you look at these verses, what do you see? There's a couple of things, aren't there? A refusal to acknowledge God. Verse 3, they do not acknowledge me. And then secondly, relationships based on lies. Did you notice how lying there was contrasted with trying to shoot someone down with a bow and arrow? And if you look through the rest of Jeremiah, you can see their continual rejection of God. Things like child sacrifice, mass greed, giving all the credit to false gods, oppression of the poor, injustice, refusing to repent. It goes on and on and on. All these things that God sees. So what's God's response to this? God cries. Verses 18 to chapter 9, verse 2. I don't have time to read all those verses, but verse 1 is difficult to translate in the Hebrew, but it probably goes something like this. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. And what you see there is the voices of Jeremiah and God blending together. We're not even sure who's really speaking at some point, but can you see God weeping there? In verse 21, since my people are crushed, I am crushed, I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? That's verse 22. And then in chapter 9, verse 1, my head were a spring of water, my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. God is weeping over the destruction that sin brings on his people, and that he must judge them because he is good and just, and he cannot allow evil to continue. So we see God weeping. And then thirdly, God cries and judges in chapter 9, verse 7 to 11. If you look at verse 9, should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? I will weep and wail. You see God crying again over their sin. I will weep and wail for the mountains and take up a lament concerning the wilderness grasslands. God is as you read those verses, he's broken over the destruction that the war of the Babylonians is going to bring to creation, his creation. What else can I do, says God? God cannot overlook evil and suffering. God must punish sin. If he overlooks sin, he is not good. C.S. Lewis says, some people talk as if meeting the gaze of absolute goodness would be fun. They need to think again. They're still only playing with religion. Goodness is either the great safety or the great danger, according to the way we react to it. And we have reacted the wrong way. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Because it's saying if there's fundamentally a problem of the human heart, a problem of rebellion against God and wrongdoing, then God, if we were to meet God, he must deal with that issue. He must eliminate evil as far as it goes. He must eliminate evil completely. But God wrestles again with the people's sin. He cries over the destruction war will bring to his creation. He wants them to repent, but they've refused. So what's the fundamental point I'm trying to make? Because my time is running short. We should never think that judgment is easy for God. It's one of the hardest things for him to do. God is a God who weeps over the tragedy of sin and the just punishment that it brings from him. And this tension in God between justice and mercy builds and builds through the Old Testament. It builds and builds and builds, and eventually you get to Luke 19 where we see God weeping again. Let me read it. It's talking about Jesus. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. See, God wept with Jeremiah all those years ago, and now we see in Luke 19 the Son of God weeping over that very same city as he offers mercy and pronounces judgment. But what does it say? It says Jesus approached Jerusalem. Jesus was intentional. And where was he going? He was going to what he knew would be his death on the cross. He was going there so that sin and evil could be dealt with once and for all, not through the judgment of his people, but through the judgment of himself, where he would pay the price for sin that we deserve, so that God's judgment fell on him and we could be freed from that and brought into right relationship with God and our evil and sin dealt with. And all that is born out of this tension and this weeping of God, where he wants to see this, he wants to see justice done and he wants to have mercy. And that is all released in the cross. A few weeks ago, I spoke on Hebrews 12, which gave us a loving warning. Do not refuse him who is speaking. We could rephrase that, couldn't we? Do not refuse him who is weeping. For after the tears of God comes his judgment. He will judge evil. So do you know him? That was the call of the video. Do you know him? Have you given your life over to Christ? If you haven't, you are running out of time. And if you're a Christian, do you see God rightly? Do you weep with him for the lost? Are you comfortably untroubled? Or are you living a life to expand your own kingdom and not his?